Welcome to Ben Behaving Dadly with me, Ben Hanlon. This is the podcast where I sit down each week with a celebrity guest and get their best parenting tips and advice, from the small little parenting hacks right up to the big stuff. So today's guest is Anthony Costa, best known as being part of boy band Blue, or man band is the correct term these days. Formed in 2000, Blue have had global successes with singles such as All Rise, Too Close, One Love, Sorry seems to be the hardest word, and loads and loads and loads of others, right? Anthony's also gone to loads of TV and stage, previously starring in musicals Save the Last Dance. I first met Anthony and the boys on the edge of a cliff on the south coast, where they witnessed me and Simon going over a cliff in a caravan as part of a prank. And genuinely, it is still one of my highlights of my career.
It's got to be up there, isn't it?
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's up there, right?
It's so memorable. If you've not seen it, type in Blue caravan tricked. But we're not talking about that. We're not here to talk about any of that stuff today. That's not important. The important stuff is, the stuff we're going to talk about, which is he met his partner in 2012, Rosanna. He's got three children, Emily, 17. He's got Savannah Rosa, 6, and Paloma Valentina, who is 3. So, Anthony, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Could be better. I'd rather be working, I'll be honest with you. It's nice talking to you, but I'm not one for being at home and being a stay-at-home parent. I don't know how people do it. I respect everybody that do it, because the homeschooling for me was the tip of the iceberg. And I literally was on my knees trying to sort everything out with schooling. We'd take it in turns. So me and Rosanna would,
right,
she'll do one day, I'll do the next. But try to tell a six-year-old kid that they can't go and play with their toys because their three-year-old kid sister, who isn't in school yet, is playing with the toys. And it was just a battle. So listen, hats off to teachers and stay-at-home parents. You are heroes.
Oh, proper hard work. That is not like the messing about that we do. But how have you found? How have you found literally like work stopping? And obviously, I guess you haven't. Have you seen the boys? Have you been doing any work? Have you been working over Zoom? Like, what's going on there?
We've had meetings, me and the boys. We spoke to each other obviously like this over Zoom. We've got a WhatsApp group as well, which we always text each other every day just to see how each one's doing, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, I've never stayed at home this long in my life, and I hope I don't ever do it again. I just like working. I just like putting food on the table.
Well, I think we're all kind of the same, especially in our industry. You never know when work is going to come and go, so you've always got to try and keep momentum. How did you find, I'd imagine exactly the same as me, you know, that come last March, it all just, your whole diary just went blank overnight, and like you say, you got nothing to occupy your mind. How do you deal with that over the last year or so?
I think for me, it's nice. It's been nice spending time with family and watching your girls, you know, a year at home and growing up. That side of it has been fantastic. But the schoolwork side and the homework side has been a nightmare. But when obviously the pandemic happened last year and the first lockdown and blah, 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 and are we going to go back to work and are we not? It was all the ifs and buts. And it was a real shock to everybody, wasn't it? Especially us in the entertainment industry, because our job is to go out and entertain, do your magic, you know, make people laugh, make people smile. And to not do that for a year and a bit, it's been really, really tough.
Tell you what I have been hearing you've been doing during old lockdown. Let's talk about the dad bod, Ant.
Yes, the dad bod. So that was last year. I think the first lockdown, as we all did, I think some of us put on a bit of timber because we didn't know what to do. It was the first time ever being stuck at home.
Yeah.
And come August time, I was like, no, I've got to change my life. I've got to change something. And I did, lo and behold, lost 3 stone. And yeah, we're keeping it off to this day. And got to start going to gym properly next week.
So 3 stone, right? That's a lot. I mean, what were the key changes? Is it food, drink or exercise? What was it?
It was more food. And it was more of the food, really. And the exercise sort of comes secondary, because as we all know, it's 80% diet and 20%, you know, gym. That's what I've been told all my life. So I'm not really a big drinker anymore. It was changing your lifestyle, your eating habits, and that was it.
Right, this is all about tips, hacks, advice. Have you got any?
Have I got any? I think for me, what I've learned over this past year is patience. I never had patience before, and I've had to rein it in a little bit, because obviously being in a band, you're like, right, let's go. I've got no time to wait. And I think now has really taught me to, again, as I say, be patient and know that nothing's going to happen straight away. And literally just be like chilled. I've had to learn to chill. That's my main thing that I've learned in myself with the girls.
What? Because you just, otherwise, before you were just getting a bit stressed? Or
mate,
what?
I was a stressor, man. Always have been. I'm just stressed. I'm a stickler for time. I'm a stickler for this. I'm a stressor. And I'm probably a terrible person to live with. I mean, ask the other half, ask Rosanna. But I am literally like, right, come on, it's 8:30. Girls got to go to school. And like, Savannah's putting her trainers on really slowly. And I'm like, right, we've got to go. And I've learned to sort of chill out a little bit now.
Yeah, and I think as well, like you said, when you're working as well, and you go, right, I'm gonna get up and do that and go to work, it's kind of ingrained in you a bit more. And then when all that gets taken away, you go, do you know what? Don't matter, does it? If we're 10 minutes late, who cares? Don't matter.
No,
and that's not. Sometimes that's an all right thing to do, though, isn't it?
It is, Ben, but I've not been brought up like that, so I'm just trying to, you know, it's that biting your lip, like, okay, well, I'm gonna be a little bit late, but that's fine, and then. You know, you get out of the house to take your girl to school and you're just rushing. And she's like, Dad, why are you walking so fast? I'm like, nothing, I just want to walk fast. I want to lose more weight.
Tell you what, me and you would not, my mates say that I'm always late. Are you a stickler for it?
Ben, I can't. That's why, like, today, 1:00, I was bang on.
You were the only guest ever that's been early for the pod.
I just find it rude. I've never been late in my life. I was one of them kids at school that used to go to school at like 7:30, 7:45 with my mates and play football for an hour before school started.
So go on. So in the band, who are you always waiting? When you're in the car, you know, you're in like the Addison Lee, the minibus, you're all ready to go somewhere. Who are you always waiting on?
It used to be Lee and Dunk, and it still is Lee and Dunk. Yeah.
But okay. So you talk about, you've always been like that. Let's go back then. What were you like as a kid?
I was a cheeky kid. I wasn't naughty. I knew what I wanted to do when I was younger. And I think, I don't know, kids nowadays, especially my girls, they don't know what they want to do. Whereas when I was 5, 6 years old, it was football and it was acting and singing. That's all I wanted to do. So now it's like, oh, so what do you want to do, Savannah? And she doesn't know, which is fine. You know, she's got to choose what she wants to do. But I find it fascinating how generations of kids have changed over the years. Do you know what I mean? Whereas when I was growing up, as I said, I knew what I wanted to do, and I was a cheeky kid. I was never naughty. Mum and dad never had to come into school, you know, to speak to my teachers. It was like, we don't know about your son because he's not listening to any of us in class. He's just doing impressions of all of us.
And so when you were like a kid and you were singing and like you say, acting, how did you go from that to being in a successful boy band? There's a lot of steps there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of hard work. Don't get me wrong. It was a lot of auditions, a lot of knockbacks. There used to be a paper on a Thursday afternoon called The Stage. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember The Stage. Yeah, yeah.
The Stage, yeah. So you look in it and you look at the back and you go, right, you circle different jobs that you're going to phone that day. And that's what I used to do. I used to live for that newspaper. Excuse me. And just make your phone calls and say, look, you know, I'm 17, you know, years old, I want to be in a band and blah blah blah, and then just go for the auditions, and that's where I met the lads, you know, through different auditions.
So with that, right, obviously you were getting the paper, you were doing these phone calls. How much of your success would you attribute to, you know, your parents' values and visions? What did you take from them in all that, do you reckon?
I took, always be respectful, always say, just be respectful, really, your please and your thank yous, and just be nice to everybody. And obviously my dad was a stickler for time. Like I
really,
yeah, man, yeah. Like he said, if there's one thing in life, no matter what you do, never be late. And that has stuck with me since, well, still to this day. That was, you know, 30 years ago.
Why is that? That's really, because I've never, like, my dad's never mentioned that. Why is that, do you reckon?
I think because my dad used to work in the markets and work early mornings, and he had to be at work at a certain time, and I never, when I say I didn't see my dad, of course I saw my dad, but he was always working. So it was mum that would take us to school, pick us up from school, blah, blah, blah. And my dad never did that, which is fine because that was his job. But he was in the factory game. So he had to be at work at certain times because he didn't want to rely on other people.
Yeah.
And I think if you're setting an example, then you can't fail.
So his mentality, market trade, he's like, I'm first one up, first one in, last one out.
Absolutely, mate. And that's how, for me, that is how I've been brought up. And obviously, I'm going by what I believe is, if you do that, you can never, ever not succeed.
So my dad was a market trader in Birmingham. And that even that concept really doesn't exist now, right? The idea that at 15, 16, 17 years old, get a little bit of cash together, buy a boot full of stuff, go stand on a market and sell your wares and then be back the next day and keep, and then grow. You could literally grow your business from that. Now, arguably, maybe the world's better now because we can do that on eBay and people are listening going, well, I can do that still. But there was just something more instant and visceral about going, right, I got my car, I'm going to get my cash and flip it and keep doing it. But interesting, so my dad said something about the markets that's always stuck with me. And he's always gone, so you'd get there at 6 a.m. And he said, you go have a day where you make no money and you'd be standing there and it'd be raining and you get to about 3 o'clock and 2 o'clock and he would see everybody around him packing up and he would always wait. And he said, I guarantee that last hour, the 4 o'clock, you'd have a rush on and you'd take money. And he's always said to me, if you pack up too soon, if you like quit too early, you're not giving yourself that full chance. And he said it in loads of stuff. He's like, just wait a bit, give it a bit of time. And the good bit will be there at the end somewhere.
Yeah, that's so true, Ben. And again, excuse me, that's how my dad was. He'd be, you know, there at 6 a.m, whether it was a boot fair or selling some of his dresses that he used to design or press and stuff. And watching me dad going, you know, getting up in the morning on Sunday and I had to go and help him. That was my pocket money, man. That was my, like, 12 quid to go and thinking I was, you know, Del Boy, do you know what I mean? Like, going to school the next day going, yeah, I've got 12 quid. And, you know, going to the shop after school with spending like a quid or 2 quid on sweets. And that was how it was in my day. And I'm sure your day as well, Ben. Mm. So kids, I think nowadays, I wouldn't say they've got it easy. I think it's different. I think it's hard for them in different ways. Mm. But we never had social media. So I think for kids nowadays, it's hard in that sense. But to learn about life is harder. It's hard to talk to them about because they don't listen. My kids don't listen. I'm not saying they're rude. They just do not listen.
What things are you trying to? What are the things that you tell them and they're just not listening?
Like today, she wanted to go somewhere after school, and I was like, "Look, we can't. We can't go because it's closed." Yeah, but I still want to go, Dad. No, but it's closed. We're in a. She goes, "Yeah, but coronavirus finishes it in June." I'm like, "Yeah." She reckons it finishes like on June the 21st.
And it finished. Finished, like the end of school. Yeah,
end of school. And she was like, yeah, but it can't. All right, I'll tell you what, Dad. Let's go when coronavirus finishes in June. I'm like, okay, fine. She goes, fine. But can we still go today? No, it's closed.
Oh, and that's what you said. You know what you say about patience? It's that, isn't it? It's that kind of the monotony of going, I've told you, I've told you, I've told you. And then you've been up since 6 and it's now like midday and you're going, okay, can we just stop talking, please?
6 hours later.
Yeah, come on, man. Please, just shush. And any other tips for us?
I've learned that you've got to work as a team with your partner.
Okay.
I always seem to be outnumbered because it's a house full of girls.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's been nice when my partner's backed me up. You know, if your daughter back chats you, it's nice when your other half backs you up and says, no, that's wrong. Don't speak to your dad like that. And that's nice.
Yeah, and I think what it is, let's be honest, kids are smart. We were smart. 100%. They're smart. And they know, if you ain't together, I'm just going to go and ask the other one and I'll get what I want. So they'll try and divide and conquer, won't they? They ain't stupid.
They're not stupid. And where Rosanna's been at home all the time looking after the girls, I am like, I wouldn't say the saviour, but I'm the other person that they can go to because Rosanna would say no. And then I wouldn't know that she said no. So they'd come to me all like, Daddy, can I just do, I'll tell you what I'll do, Dad. I'll clear the dishwasher up. Do you want me to do that? And you're thinking, all right, that's nice. Well, what do you want? No, nothing, Daddy, nothing.
Yeah.
She did it this morning, actually. and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what do you want? You're just playing along with it. And then she goes, yeah, Dad, Mummy said no, but I know you're not going to say no because you are so lovely. Like, I love you, Dad. And you're what do you want? Can I get some sweets after school? Well, as your mum said no. Yeah. So I'm going to say no. I hate you, Dad. I really hate you now. Oh. You really disappointed me. It's that. You really disappointed me. A six-year-old kid literally caning you. And you're like, oh, come on. I need a bit of teamwork here.
The thing is, though, we work as a team. Same thing. Like you say, you can't be on a different page because they'll destroy both of you, right? But I've noticed myself doing something and my partner pulled me up on it and she's right. What I do now, sometimes, tell me if you've ever done this.
Yeah.
Elvis will come to me and he'll go, can I have some ice cream? And for whatever reason, I'll just go, just ask your mum. Ask your mum. Because I know that it's probably a no, but I don't want to say no. So I go, go and ask your mum, see what she says.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and the thing is, all the time.
I did it last night, babe.
Yeah, what were they asking for?
Ice cream.
Ice cream, right? You go, go and ask your mum. Or, you know, like, can he have a second portion, mum? And then she, fair play, Brian is right. She pulled me up and she goes, right, you're turning me into the bad cop here because you're basically putting them onto me so that I can say no all the time. And I was like, yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm kind of doing that. Yeah. It's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But, do you like them ones as well when your kids are shouting and you've got a little bit of work coming and you can't wait to get out that door and it's the best feeling in the world, isn't it? And they're shouting and screaming and does your wife or a partner turn to you and go, thanks, yeah, cheers, thanks, they're screaming and shouting now and you're just buggering off to work. You're like, yeah, I know, I've got to go. Yeah, but you don't have to be there till 4 o'clock and it's only 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, no, I'm just going to take a nice slow drive and think about my lyrics or something. I'm just waffle absolute crap.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm currently working in a studio, not in my house, for that exact reason. Or the other way around, do you ever have it where you're coming back and you're in a, I'm going to get rinsed for this, you're in a good mood, right? You've had a good day. You've had you've joked around with your friends, or you've been at work and you've still been at work, but it's been fun. And for me, I can walk down my drive and I can literally see them hanging off the blinds, like the cast of Jumanji in there. And I have to turn myself down and go, all right, pretend like you've had a really difficult day.
That's what I do. I did it the other week. Oh, mate, it's so true.
I've got mates. I'm not going to mention any names. I've got mates that look at their clock and go, well, I could go home now. Or I can just send another 20 emails and then I'll just walk in and have a glass of wine. Now,
my best one is, I mean, I'm going to get destroyed for this if she listens, is I've got to do another podcast. Because I do a lot of football podcasts. I've got to do another football podcast. Yeah, but you spoke about the same thing. How many times do you want to speak about your club? Like, how many times do you want to speak about Spurs? Yeah, I know, but it's another one. It's a different one. This one's really important. Like, it's amazing. It's just, I'm in my man cave just watching football. Just literally.
Oh, so I hope everyone's finding this really useful.
I'm sorry, people.
Yeah, but right. Anyway, any other tips you got for us? So actually, no, what you're saying there is, I think what
it's just real life, Ben. None of us are perfect. I'm still learning. I'm sure you're still
learning. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think for me, it's nice to be able to talk about laughing stuff like this because it's normal life. And I can't sit here and go, yeah, well, you know, I put my kids to bed at 7 and I read them a story and everything's hunky-dory, because it's not. So I think people can relate to this.
And do you know what I think it is as well, right? It's understanding that you as a person, I think we all, you know, everyone ticks differently, but I understand I'm a better dad when I've had a bit of me time. I'm actually my best version of myself if I've gone to work for a bit and I've come back, and then I'm a great dad. But if I'm a dad 24/7, I'm not as being as good a dad to them because I've lost my patience, like you said, and I'm a bit ratty because it's all a bit on top of me kind of thing. Yeah. If that makes sense.
You're so right, Ben. As I said, none of us are perfect. And when we started talking, I repeat myself again that I'm not a stay-at-home person. That's why I respect people that stay at home and look after their children 24/7 because it is a tough job. So I applaud you, but for me, I can't do it because you're right. When I come home from work and the girls are there and they're there to give you a cuddle and you're cuddling them and did you have a good day at school, blah, blah. And then there's something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Let's move on quickly. Embarrassing parent moments. Ant, what's been your most embarrassing parent moment? You got anything that spring to mind?
Savannah, when she was three. I think she was three. We was on holiday. And we was like, beautiful hotel, really nice hotel with Cypress. Yeah. You don't realise that kids are sponges. They listen to everything. Do you know what I mean? So you can imagine. Every morning I'm trying to get into the pool. Bleeping cold, you know. Unbeknown to me, you're just saying it because it's just...
Talking about like the F word, for example?
A swear word, yes.
Fine, okay.
So we've gone down and she's gone to go in the kids' pool. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning, quiet. You know, like when you can hear like the birds are singing and everyone's singing quietly and their sunglasses on and suntan and everything. She's dipped her toe and she's gone, bleep, Dad, this is freezing.
No.
And I was like, you know, just on your sun lounger like this and you're sort of going.
And you're
going,
it's not mine. She's not mine.
Not my kid. And everyone sort of turned around and they went, yeah, our kid's done the same in the past. Do you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
We're not bad parents. It's just, they just are sponges.
Well, right. You've had some of your embarrassing moments. I've asked people on socials for their most embarrassing moments. Got a couple here. I've got one here, actually. I'm going to read it out, and then I'm going to tell you about one that happened to me this week, right? So, K Lizzie on Instagram said, this is a true story from somebody else, parenting moment. They went like this. We bought a large television. Someone's doing well. My daughter wanted to sleep in the box, so we flattened it and put it on her bed. She then went into nursery and told a reception teacher that she sleeps in a cardboard box and that mommy puts brandy in a shampoo bottle. And then she had to have a really awkward conversation when she picked her up. So there you go.
I love that. I love that story.
Again, not keeping any secrets there. But do you want it?
Go on, go with yours.
So I'll tell you two things that are going on at the moment. First thing is, weirdly, you were talking about Savannah saying things, right? Things coming out wrong. Have you ever had this? This is really weird. It keeps happening. It's not. Elvis keeps talking about death.
Savannah's classmate the other day. Savannah come up to me. Go on, go. And I'll tell you.
So we saw a doggy the other day in the park, right? Yeah. And I was stroking this doggy, nice little doggy. And then I said, come on, we've got to go now. And he looked at me in front of him and went, please don't kill the doggy, Daddy. And I'm going, why would I? Why is that in your head? It's weird.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
And he has pretend phone calls where he goes, hello, oh, nanny's dead, okay. And you're like, where is this? Is this a normal thing? Or is my child the omen?
No, Paloma, every cartoon she watches, so say she's watching, I don't know, Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yeah.
She'll go, Dad, where's Belle's mum? Is Belle's mum not alive? Or Ariel. Where's Ariel's mummy, Daddy? Is she not? Where is she? You're like, what? It's weird, isn't it?
Well, do you know what's the weirdest, right? So those films, right? So Beauty and the Beast, because again, I would have known this a few years ago, but yeah, we've had this on repeat for last year. So there's one bit in Beauty and the Beast, which is the bit where the beast goes out into the wild and she gets attacked by wolves and the beast gets attacked by the wolves and he's left for dead, right? It's like the scariest bit in the whole film.
Yeah.
That's the only bit Elvis wants to watch. The only bit. He's like, can we put the bit with the wolves on? I'm like, you're a bit weird. And then, right, in The Lion King, you know the worst bit in The Lion King?
Yeah, Mufasa.
Mufasa, the stampede.
Yeah.
Stampede, Mufasa, and then he falls, and he's dead, right? And you soon realise there's a lot of death in Disney, like you say, that's the only bit he wants to watch.
That's weird, you know, Ben. That is so strange. And there's a park, there's a local park near us, and there's a couple and Savannah will always be like, oh Dad, can we go to the dead pigeon park? Because last year they saw a dead pigeon in the park.
Wow.
So they won't go to, oh, let's go to the park with them big swings. They'll go, can we go to the dead pigeon park today? Ugh. It's crazy, isn't it? That's really strange you say that.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. Right. Oh, I've been told to ask you.
I don't know about Blue if they're getting back together.
No, that's not.
I'm joking.
I've been told to ask you about Blue and a trip to Versace.
Oh, Versace?
Yeah. What's this?
Right. Yeah,
this? I have no idea anything other than that.
You have no idea?
No idea.
Okay, right. So in 2001, we released our first single. It was going really well for us. And we got invited to Milan Fashion Week by Donatella Versace.
Wow.
So we got kitted out. You know, they invited us to Versace in Bond Street. Got kitted out. I had the leather pants and the leather jacket. I thought I was the Don. Because a couple of years before that, anyway, I thought I was the nuts.
Yeah.
So we get a private plane out there. They flew us out there and landed. Went to the fashion show, and afterwards they were like, "Look, we want you to meet Donatella. She wants to meet everybody." So you lined wow. up like you're meeting the Queen. She looked at us like, and I said to Webby, "I said, this is a bit weird, isn't it? We're supposed to be like one of the guests. Why right. wouldn't she want to say hello or thank you for coming?"
Yeah.
Anyway, cut long story short, we get back to London and she invited Blur and not Blue.
No.
Yeah. So she's obviously gone to a PR, go and get me Blur.
Wow. And,
but we were like the new band out. So they must have thought, oh, she means Blue.
Wow.
And, yeah. She invited Blue and not Blur.
Wow. That is brilliant.
But we got kitted out, so I was sweet.
But do you know what? How good is it that you found out after the trip? If you'd have found out, imagine if you'd have found out just as you got there, you'd be like, oh, this trip's a bit ruined now.
Yeah,
but now you've enjoyed the trip.
And then, yeah. We had a night out in Italy. It was fab. We got kitted out with Versace gear and yeah, they wow. wanted Blur. And the mad thing was I met Alex James like years later and he went, oh, are you? Like mucking about. He went, yeah. You took our tickets. And I was like, mate, I didn't know. Like,
yeah.
It ain't our fault.
Did you think she was there kind of trying to figure out, okay, which one's which? Like, or did she know? Could you tell in her eyes?
And you can tell body language. Like, I literally went on body language. If someone's there because you've been invited, they're going to go, oh my God, thank you so much for coming. Did you enjoy it? Blah, blah, blah. It was, we got pied.
Wow.
One big American pie, Bosch, in our face.
But like you say, you and your mates had a night out.
And the boys had a lovely time. It was fab.
Right, so what we'll do, we'll move on to our few closing questions that we do. We ask most people this. So, best parenting thing you've ever bought, gadget, toy, anything that's in your house that you're like, yeah, that's a good buy.
I bought them, I know it sounds really sad, but I bought them a TV for their toy room.
Right.
And that's the best thing. Because they feel independent. They're like, Dad, can you get out of our toy room? We want to watch Netflix. They love Beethoven, the film Beethoven.
We've started watching Beethoven, going back and watching all the classics.
Old school, mate. Old school.
Yeah.
So yeah, they love that. They love being in control and watching their own stuff.
Okay. So here's a question we ask everyone. So when the kids are stressing you out and just in life in general, the day's not going to plan. And you know, sometimes you go, do you know what? I need to reset myself here. I need to take a step away. I need to do something for myself, step away and reset and get back to happy place. What's your go-to activity or thing or tool that you do to help that?
I'd go into my man cave and watch football.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm football mad. So I would literally watch anything, any football thing related. And I would just zone out for an hour and a half. I'd come back in and I'm sweet.
Yeah. No, that's it.
All
just
I do.
Simple
and,
as that.
Exactly. But the girls know that I've built a bar. So I'll have little kids drinks, you know, for the girls. Yeah. Like, Capri Sun or whatever you want to call it, or juice shoots, and they're like, Dad, can I come in the bar and like chill? Do you know what I mean? So they know they've stressed me out, so then they'll come and join me and de-stress me.
Sweet. So just hour and a half on your most. Do you know what's funny? I've asked a few people this, and a few people, it's been like just FIFA, same kind of thing, just sitting there, I'm just zoning out just for an hour and a half and chilling. Yeah. One last question. It's the final question. We ask everybody the same question every time. You ready for it, Ant?
I'm ready, mate.
All right, here we go. So the question is, if you could go back in time to the day before you became a dad,
yeah,
what advice would you give yourself?
Don't take the job.
What job?
When Savannah was born, I was doing an episode of Casualty.
Right.
And I nearly missed her birth.
Really?
Yeah. I was in Casualty, doing Casualty. It was surreal. Surreal. And I've turned up to the hospital because I didn't have my car, so I got driven by them and someone drove me to the birth. My character was all like burnt, so I had like burnt prosthetics on, so I was like taking it off in the hospital, and I was in the scrubs, mate. I had no clothes. I was in the scrubs.
You turned up to the hospital wearing hospital gear.
Hospital gear, and the fake burnt mark because my character got burnt.
So when did you get the call that she got into labour whilst you're on
literally
set?
As the director said, action.
No.
But the thing was, I'd filmed all my stuff. This was just like a pickup. So it was like a far away shot. So luckily there was a great stand-in who did that for me. But yeah, I nearly missed the birth. And I saw the birth, stayed the night, and went back up to Cardiff the next day.
Wow. How did that go down?
Yeah, that went really well, mate. Went down really, really well. Still hasn't. It went down like an Arsenal fan at Tottenham. Let's put it that way.
Right. Yeah. So, so what you're saying is there was more to life than just working. Maybe on that one, maybe you should have just sit the job out on that.
Just one of them things, Ben. I went for the audition. I got it. I'm so amazed and really thankful. But they always said, oh, yeah, is it a first? Yeah, she'll be 2 weeks late. She'll be fine. 10 days. Is she due on the 24th of June? Yeah, it'll go over 10 days. Don't worry. So in my head, I've got it planned that she's going to go over. But it didn't happen. It came on her due date. Savannah came on her due date.
Good advice. I don't know if. So if any people are got pregnant wives or about to do casualty, that's great advice. And thanks so much, mate. That's been such a good chat.
Thank you.
So honest. Thanks, mate. Have a good one.
So there we go. Another episode of Ben Behaving Dadly. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And you do us a favour. Could you hit the subscribe button? That would be amazing. And also possibly leave us a review because that really, really makes a difference. And also, I'm getting very professional now. I've got myself an email address for this and all sorts. It's info@benbehavingdadly.com. And here's the plan, right? If you've got a hack or a tip or any advice, email it over and I might throw it on the pod. Or also, if you're struggling with some sort of problem and you want me to put it to a celebrity guest, let me know, info@benbehavingdadly.com. Also, you can find me on all socials @Ben Hanlon. See you next week.